Hi, I'm Marcy Lundy. Today is Sunday, March 17th, 2024. And this is something that I haven't done before, but I have a wonderful and talented guest this week. And so this week, both Cult of Kindness and Beauty's Aging Gracefully will have a simultaneous episode, and it will be featuring my guest, Dr. Nicole Peoples. Welcome, Dr. Nicole.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk with you.
Thank you. And if you could give the audiences a little bit of information about who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. So, my name is Dr. Nicole Peoples. By training, I'm an internal medicine physician, which is essentially the type of doctor you would see if you were to be admitted to the hospital, right? So, if you're really, really sick and you need to come in the hospital, internal medicine doctors typically would be who you see. You might also see an internal medicine doctor as your primary care doctor, but that's not really where my focus has been for the last 15 years. But I specialize in a specific type of medicine called functional medicine. And functional medicine I describe as root cause. So why do people get sick or why do they stay well? And I use a lifestyle strategy. So I use lifestyle as medicine, helping people readapt or reimagine their lifestyle so that it promotes health and prevents disease and longevity. And a big focus on hormones in women, specifically as they go through the menopausal transition and menopause.
Very good. Yes, it's so funny. I'm 45, I'll be 46 this year, and was not thinking about perimenopause in any sense. And then I was like, wait a minute, there's some weird things happening. And then, when I go to do the research, I could find slim to none. So I'm so happy there are individuals like you to help people like myself and so many other women that are like, okay, well, I need to start paying attention and doing research. Where do we start?
Yes. And so what's crazy about that for me is that even as a doctor, like we didn't talk about it, right? Like
Right.
there was this little bit of information about, oh, there's a menopausal transition. But when we talked about menopause, we only talked about hot flashes. And that was for years, that was my full extent of my knowledge on menopause.
Right.
And what I realized is I started to, get into my 40s and start to realize, wait, there's something happening. Something's
Right.
not quite right. And
Yeah.
as I talked to more and more patients, they were also experiencing the same thing. Everyone is like, it's just something, right? There's
Right.
this sort of elusive something.
Right.
People can pinpoint it. It's not like they don't know, I'm feeling more tired, I'm a little bit more cranky.
Yeah.
I might have depression or anxiety. I'm gaining extra weight and I can't seem to lose it. I have
Right.
brain fog. I get exhausted in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And these symptoms, you go to your doctor and they're just like, maybe you're depressed. Let's give you an antidepressant. And it's like, really? Is that really the extent of it?
Yeah.
It's been a journey for me as well. Just so,
Right.
don't feel bad if you're out there and you're like, was I supposed to know that something was going to happen? It's kind of like the girls who go through puberty and their mom never talked to them about starting, and then they one day they wake
Yes.
up and there's blood and you're like, what happened? Nobody told me.
Right. I know. I know. And I was an early bloomer. I started my cycle when I was 10, so I'm like, enough already, please let's. Oh, and what was also interesting is I started to notice these things in 2020, but we have the pandemic, so I'm like, was it a side effect of one of the shots, anything but what it actually was. So now that we're in 2024, for ladies that are getting to an age where they're like, okay, I'm not sure what's happening, what are the quote unquote warning signs that we should look for?
Well, so the way I really try to describe it is not so much as a disease or a symptom in specific. It is the culmination of lifestyle on how we feel, right?
Right.
And what I'm usually trying to instruct women is to pay more attention to, how things might be shifting for you in your body. Are your cycles shifting? Are your moods shifting? Is your energy level shifting? And in what way is it happening? And then we get really specific about why it's happening. Like what's happening in your day that might be nothing necessarily changed, but what's happening that may be triggering these sorts of things? Because that's how we're going to get to treatment, right? Because every one of us is different. And so when you're thinking about those symptoms that I sort of described, fatigue, brain fog, weight gain, it could be an onset of a disease, right? So it's so many different things. It may manifest as new onset diabetes or new onset high blood pressure. The question then becomes, well, I know because you're a woman that your hormones are influencing this, right? So then we start to say, okay, so are there some imbalances in your hormones? Is your estrogen a little bit too high? Is your progesterone too low? Are you losing too much testosterone? So then we can get into like the questions about why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And then we start to back into, okay, so you spent the last 40 years sleeping when you wanted to sleep, like going to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning and waking up at 6 in the morning and thinking you could get by. Not anymore. Your hormones are going down. We've got to be more intentional about your sleep. Or it might be something like fatigue, right? You've been doing the same thing you've always been doing, but now at 2 o'clock, you're doing a nosedive. It's possible that your gut is responsible, and your gut is actually, you're eating certain foods, your body's reacting to it, and now you're having an inflammatory response. So what has to happen for us as women is we have to start thinking about our healthcare a slightly different than maybe what we're used to. This idea of what's the symptom, what's the one treatment. We have to start thinking about what's my lifestyle and how is that impacting the way I feel, if that makes sense.
Okay. And for Cult of Kindness, like we're in season 4, which is focusing on self-kindness. And we all lead such busy lives. And, you know, like as we're getting older and changing, what is something we can do, like the little things, even though we're busy, to sort of make sure we're taking care of our eating habits, making sure we stop what we're doing at a certain time, you know, so we can get sufficient rest. What are some things that we can do?
Yeah, so intention is everything.
Yeah.
And your intention is everything. And setting an intention around prioritizing your health is really the beginning, right? Because so many of us are so used to just sort of going, and not really taking and being intentional about what is required for us to actually have health. I tell people, if you don't think about it, your health is going to naturally decline, because that's what naturally happens in an environment that doesn't prioritize health. And if you're just doing what everybody else is doing and thinking about your life the way everybody else is thinking about it, your health is going to naturally decline. And you know that, we all know that empirically, right? So we've looked at our aunts and our grandmothers and our parents, and we've seen their health decline as they got older. And what do people always say? They say, oh, I'm just getting older, right? And we just, that's just, oh, my knees are hurting, I'm just getting older. That is the old way of thinking about things, right? We have to now we know we actually have control over how we age. At least that's my message is, we have control over how we age. So if that's the case, we have to start to shift our intention to start paying attention to what we can control. And so I think really when you're thinking, what is the small thing that you can actually do? It's just deciding to think about it at all.
Very good.
You know, deciding to say, I'm not going to just say, oh, it's just I'm just getting older. Being like, oh, something's happening. And then becoming very curious about that, what that is. And then seeking out help and support to help navigate to better understand what's actually happening.
That's important to mention, support. I think so many people feel like they're going through whatever it is by themselves. And it's like, oh no, we're all experiencing something.
We're all going through it. I have a patient. I mean, obviously people are coming to me because there's something going on, but even in conversations, it doesn't matter. I could be out at a restaurant talking to somebody and they're like, oh yeah, that sounds like me, right? When they ask me, like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's totally me. So I haven't met a person who has not realized that their bodies are telling them something, and nobody's really talked about how do you become a translator for your body? How do you translate what that is, that feeling that you feel, into an actual intervenable, you know, solution?
Sure. What do we do? I think that some people don't realize, they felt like they were okay, but after going through the pandemic and seclusion and so many different things, that they are on the other side of it with perhaps a mental health issue. How do you Or should you say, oh, I think there's something wrong with me? Or would you suggest people go to their physician and try and find out what's
Yeah,
going on?
it's tricky because, you know, there's one healthcare system, right? And that
Right.
healthcare system is designed to identify disease and then to
Sure.
determine what medication you need. And so it's not that I don't want people to go to their doctor, I absolutely do. But the challenge that I sometimes have is you need to go a step beyond that. Because I'm particularly for, you know, mood instability, depression, anxiety, all of those sorts of things, I do
Right.
think that there are some great solutions on the conventional side. I think there are certain medications that can be very helpful for women, particularly as they're navigating all of these hormonal things. Because the things that I usually suggest take some time, because we're talking
Okay.
about reshaping your lifestyle. So sometimes as a bridge to that, a medication might be the way to go, right? To really get you to where you need to be. And I'll have to say, I experienced that myself. It was just too
Sure.
overwhelming, right? To
Sure.
just, you
Yeah.
know, so many things that you can be doing to improve your health. And it's like, where do I start when I'm already, when I'm already sort of in a bad space mentally?
Right.
So there's that component. Then the other side is the holistic side. It is the
Okay.
place where we say, all right, that's only going to bridge me. I've got to actually start treating the root cause of why I feel the way that I feel. And
Right.
sometimes, you know, obviously there's some cognitive things where like cognitive behavioral therapy or a therapist might be very helpful. But then where I come in is, what are some of the other environmental factors that contribute? So the foods that we eat can really have a huge impact on our mood. Right. So high sugary foods, foods with lots of preservatives, foods with a lot of chemicals and dyes in them can affect what we call our microbiome, which is our gut. And our gut actually sends signals to our brain about our mood. And so if we're eating foods that send bad signals to our brain, of course, we're going to feel tired and fatigued. Right. So there's that component. Then there's also the sleep component. If you're not sleeping, I don't care how many medications you're on, you're going to feel exhausted and like the world is falling apart around you at all times because your body isn't prepared for the day. And then there's mindfulness stuff, right? So there's the mindfulness, breath work, meditation, walks in nature. There are things that I think as a society, we were never really taught how to like manage the stress. We're going to all have stress, but what are the tools that we have to actually manage our stress when we are faced with it? So we're really building a whole new toolkit of resources to help people with their mental health. And if that seems overwhelming, then you may want to start with the medication. But you also might want to say, hey, listen, I don't have to do it all. I mean, just let me listen to this podcast and pick up one thing, right?
Exactly. Yes. And something as simple as nature walks are multi-purpose. It's helping your mind, and then you're also exercising.
All of it's multi-purpose. It's so funny. So I use a framework that I call the People's Life Prescriptions, and there's seven components and they all overlap. So the first one is personal life, which is all about mindset and intention. What we talked about is where I usually start. But then there's food life, which is all about the foods that we eat, the foods we should eat and the ones we shouldn't, and food timing. Then there's sleep life, which really focuses on sleep, and then detox and fitness and connection. Right? Our relationships with others, resilience, which is, you know, stress. And when I think about those seven, they all intersect, right? There, I can find the point of intersection with all of them. So you're being sleep deprived causes cravings, right? So that takes me from sleep to cravings. The certain foods that we eat have chemicals in it, which take me to detox. The, you know, toxins that we're exposed to can cause anxiety and depression. That takes me, you know what I mean? So there's a lattice of intersectionality between all of our behaviors and our health.
Absolutely, yes. Now, in regards to, as you are a woman of color, a Black woman, one, it's very nice to see in this day and age that women of color are really taking note in regards to what they need to do. Is there any suggestions? Traditionally speaking, sometimes our diet that our ancestors provided was not always the best. And so Is there a way to still somehow incorporate that, but then make sure that overall you are doing the correct things on a regular basis?
You know what's interesting is that like I don't think that our ancestors led us wrong, right? Like there is some complications there with African Americans, right? Because our ancestors, they do go further beyond slavery, right? So
Yes.
we oftentimes associate our ancestry as sort of starting with slavery, but we have a lineage of ancestry that started before slavery and the foods that come from, you know, traditionally from Africa. So there are lots of foods that we can pull from there. But then
Yes.
also, even within, you know, the African American tradition, I always tell this story because it stuck with me as a kid. My grandmother, we used to, she lived in Brooklyn in a brownstone. And if you know anything about a Brooklyn, it's like concrete central, right? It's like there was nothing but concrete. And she had this long driveway and it went all the way to the back. And then there was this little patch of soil. And in that patch of soil was her garden.
Oh, nice.
And that's the things that I think about when I think about my ancestry, right? It's this idea that we have the ability to source or resource our own food, our
Yes.
own mental health. I remember I was reading the book. I don't know if you, I'm sure you're familiar with The Rest Ministry.
Oh,
But yeah. She tells this story about how she would see her grandmother with her eyes closed. She wouldn't be sleeping, but her eyes would just be closed. And she would
yeah.
say, "Oh, I'm just resting my eyes." That was
Yeah.
mental health, right?
Yeah.
Like that was meditation. That, you know, when
Right?
I think
Yeah.
about my ancestors, absolutely, they, you know, had something that we can pick up from and take with us. But from a food perspective, even when we're talking about some of the traditional foods, the thing that they had that we have not fully brought with us is whole foods. So now we live in an environment where food is so readily available through convenience foods, chips, crackers, you know, sodas. And these types of foods our ancestors weren't eating. They wouldn't even recognize them, right, as food. No, my grandmother would not know what a Pop-Tart was. A fruit roll-up? What? These, so it's not so much that we have to like get away from Southern cooking or I mean, there are some components there that we could probably, you know, diversify a little bit. Every food doesn't have to be fried. But I think a good place to start is to start getting rid of some of these more modern conveniences that we so heavily rely on and get back to actually cooking. My
That's
grandmother
so
cooked
true.
everything from scratch, you know, and I'm not saying that I don't cook everything from scratch, but, you know, I do go to Trader Joe's and I get that little packet of like lettuce that's already been chopped for me, and I make my own salad. So there are ways to convenience, you know, our food. But then the second thing I would also say is, like my grandfather, my dad tells the story. My grandfather would not eat cooked vegetables. He would only eat raw vegetables. Like he just didn't eat cooked vegetables. And again, that's something that our ancestors did. They ate vegetables. Like if you're listening to this, I want you to sit down, take a sheet of paper, and write out how many vegetables, like how many different vegetables did you eat today? The majority of us can go all day long with having like minimal, maybe one or two servings of vegetables when we should really be getting like 7 to 9. So it's again, it's not about changing or like not or changing like the traditional ways of eating. It's really about getting back to them.
That's so true. That's really a good point. Not unlike you, my mom always talks about her mom and her grandmother cooking like literally the whole day, every day. And like you said, they're going out getting what they're growing, and that's what they're cooking. Pop-Tarts and fruit roll-ups were not it.
So yeah, I mean, and again, I could go and start, you know, hammering on different food, you know, customs that we might have that may not be the healthiest. But I really just think if we could just start by getting rid of so much processed food, that would be a great start. And eat more vegetables, right? Like those are things that you can start to do and just start thinking about, okay, how can I incorporate more vegetables into my diet?
Absolutely. As I look at the beautiful plants behind you, I think of just wellness, and if we can just make our home space still very comforting. The plants are not only giving us oxygen, they're beautiful. I think some people fail to realize that they can create that in their own home. Would you give people pointers on, like you don't necessarily have to go out and experience nature, you can bring it to you as well.
And it's really great. So the one of the pillars I talked about is detox life, and
Yeah.
detox life is really important. I think especially for our culture, because I also remember, growing up and going to people's houses and it feeling very like claustrophobic, like there was a lot
Sure.
of stuff. And this doesn't have anything to do with, necessarily with culture. It can be anybody's house, but a lot of dust or a lot of
Yeah.
like knickknacks of things. And the reality of it is that indoor air is the most toxic air, right? And so having windows and opening them, I mean,
Yeah.
these are very simple things. These are the things that I teach my patients, but sometimes it can be really mind-blowing because it's like, oh,
Yeah.
I didn't really think I don't open the windows because, all of these other reasons, but there are good reasons to open your windows. A good reason to sit by a window and get that sunlight in. There are good reasons to have plants around to refresh the air, to allow you to be with nature and to kind of get the benefits of these talking plants, right? They talk to us if we are like listening. And there are benefits to having a clean space, right? Like, so
Yes.
it goes beyond just, are you a neat person? I'm not a neat person. But like for me to think straight, I've got to
Yeah.
have like a decluttered space. I've got to set a mood. And
Right.
so all of that has to do with our mental health, right? All of that
Yeah.
has to do with our overall health. And again, it's layered. We think, oh, we're just doing it because it looks nice. But no, we're doing it because it cleans the air. We're doing it because we want to detoxify our lungs. We're doing it because we want to have mental space to think, right?
Yes.
So there's that intersectionality in creating a lifestyle
Right.
that heals. And
Yes. It connects the dots. And then before people know it, it's like, oh, I'm doing all of the things and I feel the difference.
over time, right? Like
Right.
that's the thing, it's about building. So I have this I think about it like a Jeopardy board, right? So I take the seven pillars that I talked about, right? And I say, okay, what are the behaviors that I can start to incorporate under each one of these categories? So under food life, under resilient life, under detox life. So what are like
Right.
specific behaviors that I can start to implement? And they can be very small, like opening the window, right? So that's a detox life thing.
Sure.
Taking walks in nature, right? That's a detox thing. It's
Yes.
also a fitness thing. It's also a sleep thing, right? Because getting
Yes.
out and moving actually helps with sleep. So that's a behavior. And I write them down, physically write them down, because these are the behaviors that I'm already doing that I just want to make sure I bring to my intention. Like I'm doing this for a purpose, right?
Right.
And then as those things become second nature to me, then I can add more things. Or as I
Yes.
learn new things that are easy to incorporate, like switching from plastic containers to store my food into to glass ones, using,
Yeah.
stainless steel water bottles, right?
Right.
They're just little things, but I write them down. That's where that intention comes. So that when you're thinking about what are the things that I'm doing in my lifestyle that support wellness, I can actually
Right.
tell you what they are. I can tell you the
Right.
things that I'm doing and the reasons why I'm doing them. And I build.
Very good.
Right? Like in a Jeopardy board, like, what is wellness for 100, open windows. What's wellness for 500? And that's my daily meditation, right?
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. Are you a fan of journaling? Because I'm thinking individuals could also journal
Yeah,
these
I
things that they're
am.
doing.
I'm a fan of journaling, but I've started to find new ways to journal, which I haven't really like, they haven't become habitual yet for me, but it's one of those things. I actually did it today, which is video journaling or recording my
Okay.
voice.
Yeah.
But sorry, I'm used to more of the classic journaling with writing. And the most powerful type of journaling that I've experienced is gratitude journaling, right? Because when I was a kid, I used to journal my emotions, right?
Sure.
How do I feel? And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But
Yeah.
one of the things that I find to be most restorative now, right? Because I'm looking for restorative behaviors, right? Not traumatic ones,
Yes.
is
Yes.
to just journal what I'm grateful for, because that just shifts your perspective. And it allows you to amplify the things you actually want in your life while minimizing the things that you don't, by the nature of just not spending so much energy into it, right? By not sitting and writing a 10-page letter. Sometimes I do have to write a 10-page letter to get it off my mind.
Yeah.
So there's a balance between the two. But I think the place where I'm at right now is like, you know, can I journal more about my gratitude?
I love it. Wonderful. I know, Dr. Nicole, you're based in Georgia. Are you open to online scheduling for individuals that are interested in reaching out and connecting with you?
Yeah, so my practice is just about 100% virtual.
Okay.
And so the way that I work is that I have a couple of different ways to work with me. My main one is a group program that I have, which is called the Black Women's Guide to Health, Hormones, and Longevity. And it's basically exactly the things that I've been talking about, but we do it in group and community. And I walk you through a very structured protocol that helps women lose weight, increase their energy, identify food sensitivities, and all of that's very structured. But then we also add in this layering that I'm talking about. So we talk about ways to improve your sleep, ways to manage your stress, ways to detoxify your home and your body and your skin and all of those sorts of things. So it's like the introduction into like functional medicine or lifestyle medicine. But as a result of that, you get all of the benefits immediately so that you can really feel the differences of making these changes, right? So that's my flagship program. I also just released a brand new program called the People's Life Reset, which is a more of a self-directed one. So this is for women who want to do a very similar program, but really just kind of want to do it at their own self-paced. I am a big advocate of health coaching. I don't function as a health coach because I function as a physician, but I have I have health coaches that I work with who can help implement the strategies that me and patients come up with or develop. So I call that physician directed health coaching. So that's the other way that I work with people is helping them get in with a health coach to help implement these strategies and support. So through the People's Life Reset, that's more of a health coaching. Both of them are actually health coaching, but that one is more self-directed. And then for clients who want to do labs or want to do a deeper dive, then we can also do that virtual. You can develop a patient-doctor relationship. So those are the three main services that I provide right now.
Wonderful. And we're connected on LinkedIn. I always see you posting such wonderful information there.
Yeah. So you can follow me on all the social media at Dr. Nicole Peoples. So I'm on YouTube. I'm mainly on Instagram, a little bit on LinkedIn, not really on Facebook, although I do have some Facebook groups. So if you're interested in doing one of my programs, we do have like closed Facebook groups for that. And then I think I mentioned YouTube. So I post just about everything that I film on YouTube.
Very good. Well, Dr. Nicole, thank you for the work that you do. It's very much appreciated. So much wonderful information here that I'm sure both audiences will thoroughly appreciate. And I thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I love talking about these types of stuff. So anytime you want to talk about anything health related, I'm your girl.
Awesome. All right, all to the Cult of Kindness audience, as well as Beauty's Aging Gracefully, Dr. Nicole, she told you where she's available. So please feel free to reach out and enjoy the resources and information given in this episode. Again, thank you, Dr. Nicole.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.